read verses 13 through 14 to begin with. Here Timothy says to young, or Paul says to young Timothy, he says, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us." You know, I don't usually put a title on the message myself. Natalie put some on there up there for the internet. But I suppose if I was going to entitle this message this morning, I would entitle it, "Do You Bear the Family Resemblance?" So we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. We're going to ask God's blessing upon this message this morning. So I'm going to ask Brother Nathan if he'd once again ask the blessing. Amen. Thank you, brother. All right, now he says here, hold fast the pattern of sound words. Now, a pattern, especially if you're here, ladies, and you've made dresses or anything like that, you know what a pattern is. It's something that's used as a model for making things. It's, you know, like you lay out a piece of paper that's the form of whatever you're going to make. Guys who are into woodworking, you know, same thing. Use patterns for those things, too. And here, I think it's important to understand that this is really speaking of a sample of a person's characteristics and behavior that we're to follow. And Paul is just simply saying that, follow my example. And my example is Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, I know a lot of times people in their Christian walk, because we start off as babies, we don't start off as mature, perfected Christians. Let's be honest with one another. Amen. We sometimes make a mess of ourselves. But God has called us to perfection. Don't make no mistake about that. Sometimes we have a difficult time comprehending or even understanding that we are following the example. And we question ourselves. And a lot of the reasons that we question ourselves is because we've not yet been able to identify the fact that we have an enemy of our soul, whom the Scripture refers to as the accuser of the brethren, who accuses us before God night and day. You don't measure up. You're not a Christian. Look at you. Right? Am I right? Well, the question is then a lot of times is, how do you know that you're truly following Paul's example? And there are actually several different evidences. One, I think, indeed is greater than the others. But I want to begin with this evidence. And I believe it begins as we look at John chapter 15, verse 19. It begins with this. It says, "If you were of the world would love its own. And yet because you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." And then we find that Peter said this in 1 Peter 2 and 11 when he said, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners or strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." He says, I beg you not to do this any longer. Okay? John, he wrote to the Christians of his day in John chapter 2 verse 15, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Nothing, again, that doesn't mean that the Father doesn't love you. It means that you don't love the Father, you see. So following Paul's example when it comes to this is the fact that you begin to acknowledge that you're a stranger in this world. That this world is not your home any longer. You don't feel like this is where you belong. There's something that happens within you. And folks, it is that being born again of the Spirit. You've actually tasted heaven through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so when he goes on to say, that good thing that was committed to you is the same thing that's committed to each and every one of us who is a believer. The question is, what is that good thing that he's talking about? Well, folks, I believe it is the Spirit of Christ that's within us, that was committed to us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 through 29. Paul again writes this. And you notice that some of the terminology are similar to what we find in 1 Timothy. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what was lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, who? Them, the saints. You, that means you, if you have been born of the Spirit. God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery. There's a glory that comes into your heart and life as a result of that born-again experience. This glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And him we preach. Then it goes on to say, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect. Perfect. Did you hear what that said? Everybody say it after me. Perfect. Right. So we got it in our hearts now, right? That's what we're called to. That we may be presented perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works mightily in me. That Spirit that works mightily in me. See, it was not just Paul. It was the Spirit of Christ in Paul. Just as you find in the Old Testament, when God determined he was going to take out the children of Israel because they had sinned against him. And Moses said, Lord, take my life. What was that? That was the Old Testament Spirit of Christ within Moses. That anointing upon his life that interceded on behalf of the people of Israel. He's given us of his Holy Spirit to empower us not to conform to this world, but rather to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. It's important that we remember that he's given us the Holy Spirit, which is Christ in us, as a pattern of how we conduct ourselves. The pattern is the pattern of not only a holy life, but of sound words in faith and love in Jesus Christ. Those are the things that produce the life of Christ within us. John said in John chapter 8, verse 31, then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, if you are abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You see, if the word of God abides within you and you're living that word, it will produce the life of Christ within you. The Bible says we're born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, the Word of God. As we let that Word begin to create that new life within us, again, you sense the power of the Spirit in your life in so many different ways. John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will, not might, he will keep my Word. And my Father will love him as a result, you see. And we will come to him and make our home with him right here. Amen? You see, this is what makes you a Christian. That born-again experience of having Christ within you like that. Because so oftentimes many people, they want so desperately for their loved ones to be Christian. That they say, oh, they're a Christian. They're a Christian, yeah. The proof isn't in the pudding. Is everybody who say they're a Christian? No. I was talking to a lady just the other day. Was telling me that she doesn't know what to do. You know, she's thought about divorcing her husband and everything. And said that he won't allow her to go to church or her daughter to have any kind of Christian themes in her room or anything like that. And I said, well, he's not a believer. He goes, oh, yeah, he's a Christian. Well, it doesn't sound like he's been born again to me, you know. Oh, he's not born again. Folks, if you are not born again, you are not a Christian. Amen. Jesus said you must be born again. You must be. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. That's unnegotiable. I've told you often about the story about my wife's uncle. And I love him. I love him. He's a great guy. He just needs Jesus. You know? And he told Natalie one time, goes, I just don't like being around Carrie. It just makes me feel so uncomfortable. And she said, that's because he's a Christian. He goes, well, I'm a Christian. She said, you are? How do you know you're a Christian? Well, I'm an American. You know? Yeah. You see, that good thing which was committed to us, that knowledge of the Holy One, Jesus Christ, is given to us by the Holy Spirit. And it is kept by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Again, not everyone who says they're a Christian is. Like Natalie's uncle and that other man. No matter how bad you want them to be, unless they are born from above, they are none of his. Scripture tells us that. It's not just me saying that. Listen, Romans chapter 8, verse 9. If you don't have this marked in your Bible, mark it in your Bible. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You must have the Spirit of Christ. You see, one of the problems with this hyper-grace movement, it's led so many people astray, believing that they can live any way that they want to and still be right with God, still claim to be a Christian. But folks, if you are a Christian, you cannot stay in sin. You cannot continue in sin. You can be religious. There's a lot of people in Goldfield churches that are religious. But if you were born of His Spirit, you cannot sin. And that's not Carrie saying, that's what the Word tells us. We're going to get that in just a moment. But again, like I said, I think one of the greatest manifestations, one of the greatest evidence of the fact that you are a believer is that of love, that you have love. The Bible says that. Jesus said, by this men shall know you're my disciples because of the love that you have for one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 talks about this love. And it talks about it in a way that it describes it's not one of those that can continue on in sin, continue on in doing things that are wrong. Because he goes on and says here in verse 5, it does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not, in other words, it's not selfish. Thinks is not provoked. And thinks no evil. Now, I'm going to read it to you from the King James Version because it says it differently, but the same. You know what I mean? But I like how it says it in the King James. It says, it doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. So, if you're here and you say, well, I'm a believer, but you're living a life that is just like the world, without any conscience of sin or wrongdoing at all, it could be you are in a condition that the Scriptures refers to as reprobate. Reprobate. The definition from the dictionary for reprobate, the basic idea in reprobation is that of failing to stand the test. When applied to man's relationship to God, it suggests moral corruption, unfitness, disqualification, all arising out of a lack of holiness. Now, I know that whenever you start talking about these things, it makes a lot of people swallow hard. You know, makes you start examining yourself, doesn't it? And you look at the King James Version of Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32. This is speaking about, it could be the people before the flood, it could be the Jewish people after they got into the land. I think it describes anybody who had once walked with God began to turn away. Listen to what it says. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established. In other words, established on the rock, on the foundation, which is Jesus. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and of me. Now I would have not you be ignorant. Let's talk about that for a moment. Many people want to remain ignorant. They want to stay in ignorance, thinking, well, I'm a Christian. I'm just going to trust that God's going to save me anyway, you know. Listen, you got to listen to what Scripture says here. I would not have you be ignorant. Brethren, that oftentimes I proposed to come to you, but was let hitherto that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among the Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith. Or listen, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That means that they claim it, but they're not walking it. Okay? Because of that which may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, notice that terminology there. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image make like unto corruptible man, unto birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. You look at the children of Israel's example. They knew who God was and what was required, but they began to follow after the idols. You see? Wherefore, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. That's what the children of Israel did. They used to go and have these groves where they would have these sacrifices and things like that to Asherah and Baal. But then it was a big orgy, sexual orgy. And they would defile themselves. But they'd be in temple on Sabbath, you know. What about people today doing the same things, coming to church on Sunday? And he goes on to say, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Boy, do we see this nowadays, don't we? And worship served the Creator more than the creature more than the Creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. And it says, for this cause, God gave them up to their vile affections, for even their women did exchange the natural use unto that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lust toward other men, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God, in other words, the truth of God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despisers, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, and knowing. Listen, it's not that they didn't know. They know what the judgment of God is about those things. They, that they which committed such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, listen, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, as I've shared with you in the past, that there's like a major denominations who are saying, there's nothing wrong with homosexual marriage. That's not what my Bible says. I just read it to you. If you're here today and you're still holding on to the thought that God's going to, He's love and He's going to save everyone who, you know, turns away from His truth. The Bible talks about a reprobate mind. There are churches out there today that actually say they're homosexual churches. Mm-hmm. Folks, it's reprobate. It's reprobate. There's no other way that you can get around it. Now, in the King James Version, Romans chapter 2, verse 5 through 9, it says, but after the hardness and the impenitent heart, treasure up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them, listen, and I hope this is you, and I hope this is me, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. But unto them that are contentious, and there's a lot of people contentious about this subject, as well as others, and do not obey the truth, but unrighteousness, what does it say? Indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul that doeth evil, of the Jew first, also of the Gentile. Now see, Paul, he spoke of those who were Christian in name only. And he, when he spoke about them, he said, I tell you this, and I'm just crying alligator tears because of it. My heart is broken over it because they are ignorant. They are deceived into doing these things. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 through 21, talking about his example. Brethren, join in following my example. But then he says, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a what? Pattern. For many walk, of whom I told you often, and I tell you now, even weeping. There are many who walk. In other words, those who say that they are believers, but they're not. And I tell you now, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and their glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. You see, this world has evangelized the church in a lot of ways. Folks, we can't allow that. I'm not saying we got to be like the Westboro Baptist Church or anything like that, because those folks are wrong too. What I'm saying is, though, we got to stand up for what's right in love and tell people, this is wrong. You shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do it. Bible says, you who are spiritual, you see somebody who's taken in a fall, restore them in the spirit of meekness, examining yourself, making sure you're not guilty of doing the same thing also, you see? For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this is not our home. It's not our home. Who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. The Bible says, if the Spirit of Him who dwells in you, or dwells in Him, dwells in you, He will raise your mortal body. Paul himself was so concerned that he would miss this mark. He said these words in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. But I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Now, I want to read that to you from the King James Version. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Interestingly, as you study the word, the word used here for castaway, the word used here for disqualification, the word used for reprobate in Scripture are the very same words. It's the very same word, rather. And the word is pronounced adokimus. And it literally means to be disqualified, cast away. This is why Paul would say this later on, as we're going to get to that problem in a few weeks, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. The solid foundation of God is Jesus Christ. No foundation can be laid other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Having this seal or promise, the Lord knows those who are His. Let everyone who names the name of Christ do what? Depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, that means if you've been dishonoring your vessel, it means you can clean it. You can sanctify it. And you can be brought into that place where you are a vessel fit for His glory. It says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, folks, I know that you're probably sitting here, you're probably feeling kind of bruised and bleeding right now, and that's not my intention. But I would not be doing my job right here if I did not share you the full counsel of God, the truth. God has called you to depart from iniquity. He's called you to turn, have a change of mind, and walk after the Spirit. Amen? You can't do enough to measure up to God's standard. You must have the Spirit of Christ dwelling within you. That's why Paul said, not everyone who has claims to be a Christian has the Spirit of Christ. Paul says, I tell you, even weeping, that apart from Christ, you can do nothing. You need to be born of the Spirit. You need His Spirit, you see. It is His Spirit that enables you to be able to overcome sin. It's not a matter of the law of do's and don'ts. I want you to understand that. I know it's kind of difficult to separate the two. I heard an illustration the other day. A brother was talking about when he was a kid. He used to go out and he used to find fireflies, lights, and he would put them in a jar. You know what would happen to them? They'd die. You see, God's called us to be lights too. And if we are trapped within a bunch of rules and regulations and things like that, you know what's going to happen? You're going to die. But the same thing is true. Anybody ever have a bug zapper? Yeah. Now, the kids bought me one, a big one. And I actually hooked it up outside there. And every once in a while, I hear this. And sometimes it'd be a real big one, you know. And you look at the bottom, it's all about these ashes, you know. And I think that the allure of sin appears to be something good. Like Eve, when she was looking at that fruit, you know, it appeared good to eat and pleasant to the eyes. The attraction. Anybody ever see Bug's Life? Yeah. It's so beautiful. Life will zap you. This is what I'm saying. But if you got the Spirit of Christ that's next to you, kind of wake up, turn away, repent, walk the way it's right. That's the advantage the Spirit-filled person has. But if you continue towards that, it will lead to destruction. The Bible says we need to fear lest there be in us an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. For we are made partakers if we keep our confidence steadfast in Him to the end. So important, folks, that we learn that lesson. Especially in the day that we're living in. Because Jesus, He warned, He said, and men would go wax worse and worse. Evil men would wax worse and worse. And he even said this word, when I return, will I find faith upon the earth? I think the point of that is that people have so watered down the Word of God. People have so turned away from God's original intent and purposes that they're not walking in faith. They're walking according to the dictates of man's heart. Is this easy? No, it's not. You can't do it apart from the Spirit of Christ. It's only through Him. But again, the benefits. Remember the scripture we quoted a lot earlier? To him that believes, all things are possible. And you'll find you'll never, ever be sorry for your commitment. It hath great recompense of reward, the scripture says. So I want to encourage you, if you've been living in sin, to depart from it and do what's right. Because God will not, you know, count you guiltless. I just read to you what it said in the book of Romans. And so I share this with you, and hopefully you can see I'm spiritual. In the spirit of meekness, I hope you receive it in the spirit of meekness to restore those who've walked after the flesh. And believe me, I'm speaking to myself too. And all of us have room for improvement. Amen? All right, let's go ahead and bow our heads for a moment.